This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have to make sure you're fully insured, and they'll do everything they can to save you money. Saving money is more important than ever, while making sure you're still covered. Purdy Insurance takes care of all of that. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Now, I'm not going to be political here. This is not a political, as you know, we just look, it's a sports show, we do sports. But did you see who President-elect Trump selected as his chief of staff? Did you see that?
Susie Wiles?
Yeah. You know who she is?
No.
She is Pat Summerall's daughter.
Oh, you know what? When they were talking about it, I heard them say Pat Summerall's daughter, but I didn't realize that's who they were talking about.
Yep. Susan Summerall Wiles, right? The legendary broadcaster and former New York Giant, Pat Summerall, that's his daughter. Again, just as a fact, I just wanted to bring that up. We'll stay in broadcasting here for a moment with a couple of things. Bob Kessling is retiring after this season at Tennessee. In the last 61 years, Tennessee has had two play-by-play announcers, the legendary John Ward and the legendary Bob Kessling. Now, Bob's going to finish the football season, and he will do the basketball season. He'll retire in April. He's been the play-by-play voice of Tennessee football for the last 26 years. And then before that was John Ward. So only two guys, 61 years. Bob is a terrific broadcaster and a great guy. I can't say enough about the kind of great guy Bob is. And I have one Bob story that from an Outback Bowl. And I've told this story before, but it's worth retelling. At Raymond James Stadium, the home of the Buccaneers, which is also the home of what was then called the Outback Bowl, is plexiglass between the booths. So you can look over the booth next to you and like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. Great. Right. And that's getting to be more and more standard operation. So Roger Corey is in the booth, and he looks over into the Tennessee booth, and it looks like a Cecil B. DeMille film. Right? So Roger goes over the place guy. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He says, there are 14 people in there. You know, and of course, you know what my reaction was. So, I don't care how many people they have over there. Right? He says, I'm going to go over and find out. I looked over and said, knock yourself out. It's like, I don't care. Go ahead. So he comes back with a full report. They have two engineers. They've got two producers. One's on the field, one's up in the booth. They have a sideline reporter. They also have an audio person downstairs with the sideline reporter. They've got two analysts, right? And then he says, and they have three spotters plus a statistician. I said, three spotters? He says, yes, one for Tennessee, one for Penn State, and one for the officials. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Meanwhile, conversely, we have in our booth four. Roger, who was the engineer at the time, Jeff Tarman, the producer, Jack, and me. We had four. So Bob comes over, right? He said, just, hey, let's exchange some notes. I said, sure, that's great, no problem. And the first thing he says after, he says, hey, let's exchange notes, Steve. I said, sure, Bob. He says, now, I hope you all don't get mad at your spotters today, because we're wearing a white jerseys with the orange numerals. They can be a little hard to see. And Jack slaps me on the back. Boom. He says, you're looking at them. And Bob looks at me and goes, you spot your own game? I said, yep, Bob, all the mistakes on our broadcast are all me. I said, I can't blame anybody. Oh, God.
Is that your preference? Would you rather not have a spotter?
Jeez, I've never really thought about it. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm so used to it. I haven't really thought about it. How about that?
I was going to say, you've done it. I mean, I'm assuming you've done it so much. Would you know what to do with a spotter at this point? Like, because I am assuming you would already have the number.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, it's no. I mean, like, you know, now as I get older, who knows? I don't know. You know. I don't know. But. Yeah, it was just one of those. Like, I mean, Jack was so funny. He goes, you're looking at him. Bob was horrified. Like, I don't know. Then there was, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Todd, I don't know. I'm just so used to doing it the way we do it. I've never once thought about it. You know what I mean?
It's just a little, I don't want to say strange, but, you know, everybody else has a spotter. I just find it a little odd that you guys have never had one. Is that just something from Fran? Fran never used one?
Oh, no, Fran has a spotter.
Oh, okay.
No, Fran did. I don't know. I never really thought about it. You know, and there's certain ways of identifying players. Numbers, of course, the obvious one. But there's sometimes when they're turned to the side, sometimes you can't see a number. It's one of the reasons why when Jack's talking, I'm listening to him, but I'm always looking at personnel who's coming in, out. You know what I mean? That way I'm keeping track of who's in the game. And sometimes I have to identify people by body type. There's a certain way, for example, that Nick Singleton lines up, and there's a certain way that Catron Allen lines up. So that's a tip-off to me. If I can't see the number because they're at the side, I can identify who it is. All right? So sometimes you have to do that. There are also some teams where, for whatever reason, they feel compelled to wear uniforms they think are really cool on TV, but you can't see in the stadium. Kent State was one. I'm like, what? Like, Jack looked at me and goes, how are we doing this? I said, I don't know. I said, we'll have to figure something out here. So every once in a while you get that. Northwestern was one that we did a night game there. And they decide, this is years ago, when Danny Person was the quarterback, Kane Coulter was their second quarterback, so he had a 7 out of 2. Okay? They wore black jerseys with purple numerals.
Oh, I remember those.
You're like, what are they doing here? And it was a throwback game for them. So their sports information guy came into the booth. He wanted to, you know, make sure we were okay in pronunciations. And I go, geez, I said, who the heck came up with these uniforms? Oh, they're great. I said, well, I can't see the numbers. Yeah, yeah, but we got the numbers on the helmets. I looked at him. I said, Mike, can you read those numbers on the helmet from up here? And he looked out and went, oh, God, no. So what I did was I spent time in the pregame really watching them warm up. because I wanted to see they kept the same tailback in, which really helped. So that part was taken care of. It's now a question of every once in a while, you know, Coulter would come in for person. You had to figure it out, and because they're both single digit numbers, you really had to really look. But with their wide receivers, what I did was I finally figured out by body type which guy it was. You know, the way they lined up, one guy was taller, one guy was shorter, and that's how sometimes you have to do little tricks like that when you're not quite sure. I don't know. I'm so used to doing it this way, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you. It's like, okay.
I don't know. I've been doing this for about a year now. I can count on it might have been the second time I left you speechless, and I did not expect it to be in a spotter question for a couple seconds.
I mean, I'm like, nah, I don't know. At this hour, I don't feel a need for it. How about that?
The bane of our existence around here for radio people and sports reporters is to honor the veterans a lot of the times in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They'll wear the camouflage uniforms, but they're like a gray camouflage with black numbers. I walk the sidelines, and I have a hard time reading the numbers from that far away. I just can't imagine what the radio guys do up there.
it's hard. Yeah, that's hard when they and I know they think the uniforms are cute, clever, the whole thing, but it's one thing you got to give the NFL credit. The NFL has regulations on size of numbers on uniforms. And to me, that makes a huge difference. I would guess that the Ravens uniforms from afar may have been a little difficult last night, except the size of the numbers on the Ravens uniforms, I mean, were really good size. So, Al Michaels, after controversial missed penalty, and I agree with him on this, too many games end this way. Doesn't that seem that way to you, Todd, that too many games to see that you kind of walked out going, I don't know about that?
Yeah. I mean, the one that's sticking out in my head is the face mask in the Rams game.
Yeah. Face mask in the Rams game. Now you've got this game last night, which was a great game. That was a fun game last night. And when you look at the last play, it looks like the Ravens get away with two penalties on the play, on the two-point conversion. And I would have gone for 2-2 there, by the way. Yeah, I'm not going to question Zach Taylor on that. I thought that was the right call. Go for two. What the heck? You know what I mean? You're sitting there watching this, and there's defensive holding, and at the same time, forcible contact to the head of Joe Burrow. I mean, Burrow goes back to pass, and he lets it go, and boom, right across the face mask. Now, it's completely inadvertent. I mean, is the face mask inadvertent? Of course it is. I mean, he's just trying to, like, hit the ball if he can. And when he goes back, right, on the two-point play, right, the guy he's throwing to may have been held at the beginning, but Mike Gesicki is tackled on the play. So he was eliminated as an option. You're like, wow. You look at how the Vikings-Rams game, where it's obvious that Sam Darnold has his face mask grabbed. Okay. Again, it's inadvertent. The Bears lost the game to Washington. There's holding all over the place on that play. You look at Virginia Tech and Miami, where they overturned a replay where you can't see. They just made their best guess. Like, what are we doing here? The same thing with Miami and Cal. Key play would have been a first down, fourth quarter. Guy launches himself right into the helmet of the Cal player. Nope, he's good. Really? What do you mean he's good? He's not good. What are we doing here? Why do we have some of these rules if you're not going to enforce it?
I think you can say the same about Michigan and Minnesota. I mean, do I think the Michigan quarterback got in? Yes, but you don't see the football anywhere on that sneak, on that replay. Oh,
you talk about Minnesota-USC.
Minnesota-USC, that's right.
Minnesota-USC, darn right. I mean, do I think he got in? Yes. Can you see it? Nope. All right? Nope. Then there's the call at the end of the Minnesota-Michigan game where they recover the onside kick. Now, I don't know if Minnesota's going to win the game or not. But his helmet's in the neutral zone. Oh, for goodness sakes, you're making that call? Really? You're going to make that call right here? Really? But what are we doing here? One of my biggest issues, there's a lot of great officials out there at every level, high school, college, pros. A lot of great officials out there. But there's just enough of them out there that don't have a great feel for the sport they're officiating that it becomes problematic. So,
I mean, as the games get bigger, as we get head on into the later in the season, I don't think, unfortunately, that's going to change much either.
No. That you can't change that. And look, the shortage of officials is an epidemic.
Yes.
Which is really unfortunate, because what you're doing is that by reducing the pool moving its way up, you're not getting the best people out there officiating. You know, each step on the ladder, you should be thinning, the herd. The best high school players become college players. The best college players become NFL players, right?
Yes.
Same thing with this. The best high school officials should end up becoming the best college officials, who then should then in turn have an opportunity to become the best pro officials. We saw John Perry for years in the Big Ten. John ended up going to the NFL. He was great. Okay. And now he's retired. I mean, that's an example. But when you're now in California, for example, playing high school football games on Wednesdays and Fridays because you need some officials to work two nights, that's not a good situation. Now, what's hurting are not the fans. What's hurting are the parents. And all officials will tell you that. It's not the fans in the stand. Oh, yeah, they'll get upset about something. That's fine. Everybody gets upset. It's not the coaches. Coaches will get upset. But it's the parents in some of these places across the country where they're sitting back and they're so tunnel vision on their child, which I totally understand, that they're taking it, when something doesn't go right, they're taking it out on an official. Like the official's costing their kid a scholarship. No,
but you losing your crap on the official after the game might.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the issues you deal with. But my problem is because of the thinning of the herd when it comes to high school, it is thinning the herd on the collegiate level. And while you have people that are out there and are all working very hard, they are not... Don't sit there and think they're out there making calls against your team. That's not how it works. Okay? They don't want to be the focal point of what's going on. Who does? Nobody wants to be that kind of focal point. But I don't think there are enough officials that have what I call a great feel for the game. That intangible that makes you exceptional.
I mean, when you're starting at JV and working your way, JV in junior high and in high school when you're younger and working your way up, that's how you develop that feel for a game. And, sure. That you're not getting that much, like you said, there's just not that much depth right now.
Right. It's a problem. Hopefully we'll get the King on today. We haven't talked to him a little bit.
No, between road games and...
Yeah.
Various other things.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if we don't do it today, it's going to be another 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I will be doing the show Black Friday, by the way. So that is happening. I will be here. I'm going to have to talk to the suit about road equipment because I go to Florida right after Minnesota for Monday and Tuesday. So I may have to do the show in the hotel room.
Ooh, we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, it's one of those times we're going to have to, I think.
I'm having flashbacks to a week in Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament. I'm sure you...
Yeah, I remember that quite well. Yes. And if it makes you feel better, the road trip is starting in Minneapolis.
Oh, well. Where's the Big... Is this the year the Big Ten tournament's in Las Vegas?
No, it's in Indianapolis.
Ah.
But the road trip for this Daytona tournament... I'm leaving Friday to go to Minneapolis doing the football game at Minnesota, staying over that night, and then have an early morning flight to Atlanta, then to Florida to do the games Monday and Tuesday, and then I'm coming back with the basketball team on the charter Tuesday night.
Sounds long. Sounds fun.
Well, it's fun for me. See, that's the part of the job. I mean... I still love the job. I mean, I know I mentioned Bob Kessling is retiring, which then probably brought up a lot of listeners going, please tell us, what are your plans? And I'm not going to give you the satisfaction. I intend to stay. All right. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sun, ride with the sun,
Sunbury Motors. Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucson's with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucson's, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yes. Bob Flounder says after hearing the commercial, he was ready to drive over there right now. And that's a fact, right?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
And it's also not a short trip for Bob.
No, but it sounds like he's willing to go. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, hopefully we get the king on. I mean, we don't know where he is. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Hey, come on, man. Oh, well. So we went through tomorrow. Jed Fish was surprised that Penn State doesn't wear white jerseys for the whiteout. Like, he said, we're wearing white jerseys. Yeah, we know you're wearing white jerseys. You're the visiting team. It's like, okay. People have asked before about wearing white jerseys for the game. No offense, in a sea of white, I'd rather have my team stand out, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure if the TV contrast could handle all that white.
But I'm saying, though, well, but I'm saying, as it, yeah. I'd like my quarterback be able to see blue jerseys with white clad fans in the background, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think that would be a problem, yes. Kind of like a hitting background.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I look at it. So the other day, I had a white Gull shirt on, but it's fall. So I'm a quarterback club, and I have a white shirt on, but because it's fall, I had a gray Penn State football sweatshirt on. It's the one that subtly says on the left-hand side, you know, Penn State football on it, right? You know, it's not like big and bold letters across the front. So I don't think I've ever worn the sweatshirt to quarterback club. And the quarterback club, first of all, the quarterback club tells me nothing. I got to give them credit. They tell me, like, I got to give them credit. They do tell me zero. I never know who the players are. Until I have to look it up on the Facebook page. Oh, that's who we have. Okay. So I didn't know it was a white. I didn't even think about it. And everybody in the room's wearing white. And I get up there to start. And John Soren is the president of the quarterback club. And he's very enthusiastic. And he's really smart. I mean, especially when it comes to computer marketing and everything. He really is. John's a cut above. But he's up there with a white shirt, white pants, and white shoes. And he introduces me, and I said, this is really great. It's the first time in my life I was ever introduced by Pat Boone. I figure with this audience, I could make that joke. Pat Boone always wore white, and white shoes. And they laughed. They got a kick out of it. And a woman who's just, she's delightful, Patty Klickner, just wonderful, looks up and says, how come you're not wearing white? And again, remember, I've got the gray sweatshirt over the white shirt, right? In part because it's 59 degrees out. And I thought that was a smart way to dress. All right. And to be casual and whatever, because James doesn't go in a jacket and tie. He always goes in a sweatshirt anyway. And I said, well, I said, I'm wearing a white shirt underneath. She says, well, you shouldn't have the sweatshirt on. I said, geez, Patty. I said, well, you're wearing white. I said, why don't you come up here and UMC it? I'll sit down there. And the players, none of the players are wearing white. I said, well, the players aren't wearing white. Oh, but they're the players. I said, what, I'm an exception here? And then James comes in, and he's got a gray sweatshirt on, too. And I said, oh, nice shirt. Oh. I'm like, oh, geez. Let me just ask the questions. We're good. We'll be fine. Now, will I wear white tomorrow? Yeah, I'll wear white tomorrow. Of course I will. I always wear white to the whiteout. So does Jack. We both will. It's fine.
The way you described him, he sounded like he was going to the Kentucky Derby, too.
Oh, I know. Yeah. 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 There's nobody out there wearing white that had a hat. So. Oh, goodness gracious.
Also the only place to acceptable to wear all that white after Labor Day, too, right?
Yes, and James has made that joke before.
No.
James has made that joke before. But, I mean, I didn't even think about it. I was like, you know, I had a white shirt on, a white golf shirt, white Penn State golf shirt on, but I threw the sweatshirt on over it, You know, it's a hooded sweatshirt, right? And I only did it because it was 59 degrees out. And when I got up to talk, I didn't take it off. I'm like, what the heck?
You should have skipped the functionality and just went full white, I guess, right?
It's a strange world out there, and I got to admit, it's getting stranger every hour. Oh, goodness. Yeah. So I've got... tonight. The... basketball game tonight with UMBC. That'll be at 6, the 5:30 airtime. Then tomorrow will be 8 with a 6:30 airtime for football, Penn State and Washington. So I've got the basketball, football back to back. And that, believe me, right? Nobody's having more fun than me. I'm having a good time. It's cool. I love it.
So, what would you like to see tonight out of the Nittany Lions? They should, you know, they should beat UMBC, but
more of the same.
Yes.
And when I mean more of the same, okay, I look for different things, I think, than most people do. Same thing with Dick. And I'll tell you, one of the items I look for in a game where you are blowing a team out that tells me a lot about the team is that you're up by a margin, and suddenly out of nowhere somebody fires up the happy on the farm shot. And then there's another happy on the farm shot. And then there's another happy on the farm shot. In other words, I'm going to get mine. In Monday night's game, you know how many of those Penn State took in the 40 minutes? Zero. They didn't take one shot that was not in the realm of the offense for the entire 40 minutes. There was nobody out there trying to get theirs. It didn't matter whether it was minute 8, minute 28, minute 38. Penn State was running the offense and went about their work and did not do anything that was other than what the coaches needed them to do. You know, the defense speaks for itself. You know, the number of turnovers, 21 turnovers, 16 of them were steals. I mean, that speaks for itself. They rebounded for the most part pretty well. Going to be a little bit better rebounding. Still rebounded well, but you'd like to see a little bit more there. But even when they put the freshmen in, they weren't taking shots they weren't supposed to take. And that's one of those subtle under-the-radar things that tells me a lot about the discipline and the makeup of a team when you see something like that. Now, the standard each game goes up. In other words, and I do talk about this with Mike in the pregame show tonight. Mike and I taped the pregame show last night. It was tape pregame with Mike, then do talk show with Mike, then do talk show with James, then do pregame with James. So if you're wondering for 5:55 to 7:10 last night, that's what I did. You have to do things ahead of time on the pregame show stuff. You know, it's not live in the locker room, I can assure you. That's why, like with Joe, she's most of the time with Joe. Most of the time, we'd tape the pregame up in his office. Sometimes it was Thursday, sometimes it was Friday. And every time Joe would go into the office, you know, Cynthia Ault had a desk outside Joe's office. And he would grab either a handful of licorice, come in, and goes, "Hey, Stefan, what are we doing?" It's like, or he'd grab pretzels. Now, usually it was like, about, let's say, 2/3 of the time, maybe 75% of the time, is pretzels. The other quarter, whatever, was licorice. It was black licorice. And so when he won his 400th game, I got him a canister of 400 pretzels. He goes, "What? What's this about?" And I said, "Well, you won your 400th game, you know." And everybody at that point was giving him gifts and things like that, right? And I said, "Look, I want to get something that was personal between you and me." I said, "Every time you come in here to do the show, I said you usually grab a handful of pretzels or licorice." I said, "I talked to your dentist. He told me don't get him 400 pieces of licorice." He laughed. I said, "So I got you 400 pretzels." And he looked at me. He goes, "That is so neat." I was like, "Oh." And I said, "Why? You can take it home." He goes, "I'm not taking this home." He says, "I'm going to put it underneath my desk." He said, "If I take it home," he says, "Steve, they're going to eat it on me." He said, and he took it. He put it underneath his desk. I was like, "Oh, okay." Yes, pregame shows.
Yes. I was thinking it was something that he didn't that he didn't realize that he was grabbing pretzels all those times.
No. He knew. Yeah, he always Cynthia always had pretzels and licorice out on the desk, and he'd grab one or the other. Yeah. No, he knew that.
I just, you know, just something you've always, you know, you do absentmindedly,
right, like it's a reflex, yeah. Right. I know what you mean. Like, it's one of those reflex things, but yeah, you're like, no. He was like, yeah, it's, he understood exactly where I was coming from. So that was great. All right. Jeez, no King. Kind of bummed. He does send me a lot of texts after games. I'm not going to go through the text messages he sent me after this, but.
Are they safe for work?
Oh, yeah, they're safe for work. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's my brother. I'm not going to read his text messages on the air. All right. We'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Okay, high school football tonight should be a beauty. Mount Carmel, Lewisburg, top blowing that off.
Hey, blowing it off is a little tough.
I don't get it. Is it Troy, the Southern Columbia?
Yeah, it's Troy in Southern Columbia.
And that's up at Mansfield.
That's up at Mansfield.
So you're going to be a Doug from Wellsboro territory.
Wellsboro's about 30 miles west of that.
Doug would go.
Well, I'm sure.
Okay, how far are you going?
I'm going, and it's, when I looked, it's an hour and 34 minutes.
So Doug's 30 miles away. You make it seem like he's going by wagon train.
I don't think of that, but I guess that's the only that is. Well, I guess he could go to Wanda. There is two games in the Northern Tier.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which one's closer though. Warrior runs up at Tawanda at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Tawanda is in. Is that in Sullivan County or is that in?
No, it's Bradford County.
Bradford County. Okay. I should know that. Because my dad grew up in Bradford County. Yeah. I remember they had to sell a piece of property up there that my dad had after my dad passed away. My mother wanted to sell it, our piece of it, and I was able to get her an attorney in Tawanda to do it. So, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Hindsight being 2020, you should have saved that for a cabin.
Well, they had there was a house on it already.
Yeah.
My dad grew up very close there. It was his aunt's house.
Yeah.
And so he, along with his two brothers, had the house. But at this point, you know, he had passed away, so my mom wanted to sell it.
It's a beautiful area up there.
It's absolutely gorgeous up there. Bradford, you know, Larraysville, Warren Center, where my dad grew up, and right there, gorgeous area. So, and then I think if anybody heard the broadcast the other night, Dick brought up Vestal. I said the irony is there's no where my dad grew up. You know, now you're talking about my dad growing up in. You know, going to high school in the late 40s. So the closest high school for him to go to was Vestal in New York, which is where Binghamton happens to be. So, yeah, so he actually went to Vestal High School in New York over the line.
It's you know, kind of interesting and apropos, you know, Athens went through some things last year football-wise where they lost a lot of players to moved across the border, and those kids won a state title in New York.
No, why did that happen?
I don't know. Never found out why.
Wow.
But they basically lost their whole junior and senior class for the most part. When they came down to Shamokin last week, they're predominantly sophomores and freshmen because of that.
So, did they go to tour Corning or Elmira?
It's near Elmira, but it's not Elmira High.
Okay.
But there's one right across the border from Athens and Sayre there.
Oh, wow.
Athens and Sayre struggled in football last year, and the school districts right across the border, both won state titles in New York.
That's not good.
No.
I'm no expert, but that's not good.
Nah. We're going to have to come back on Monday to relax from our weekend, I think, Steve.
Yeah. Well, have a safe trip tonight. Enjoy the game. This should be quite a game up there tonight at Mansfield.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. That's great. And again, Lewisburg plays Mount Carmel tonight on 100.9 The Valley with Greg Wetzel at Milton High School at 7 o'clock.
And you will be back on here at 5:30 for the Penn State Nittany Lions men's basketball game and on Eagle 107 at 6:30 tomorrow for the football game.
Looking forward to both. Dick Girardi joins me tonight. Jack Ham tomorrow.